We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Christ Church Birmingham. More teaching can be found at www.christchurchbirmingham.org.
Just gathered church planting across the Midlands, which is now many different apostolic teams are doing that, is tremendous, something tremendous on my own heart. And even though it's taken a long time, actually, it's not taken that long, really. You know, from mid-90s to now, well over 50 churches in this region amongst the different groups of churches that we're working with. And so it's a tremendous privilege to be here with you. And I'm going to speak to you now on seeds. Okay? Now, normally, well, often when I preach on the subject of seeds, I'm in a more agricultural area, which you could hardly describe Birmingham as being. But seeds were very, very important in Jesus' teaching. And so I'm going to speak on seeds and power. I'm going to read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Feel free to follow it. If not, it's up on the screen in a moment. Okay, so Mark 4, 24 to 34. Then Jesus added, "Pay close attention to what you hear." All right? That's a good way to start a preaching, isn't it? Pay close attention to what you hear. All right? You already all with it? The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. The more familiar literal translation of that is, the measure you give will be the measure you get back. But the translation I'm using explains it. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you'll receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seeds on the ground. Night and day, whilst he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterwards, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Okay. Stories are extremely powerful. Okay. Many people, most people I think, remember more when they've heard a story about something than when they're given a list of facts or a list of principles and so on. Stories are powerful. And Jesus told many, many stories or parables. Parables are stories with a message for life. Okay? And Indeed, it says in the scripture we've read, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. And sometimes parable is a whole story. Sometimes it's a bit more like what we would call a proverb. Some languages, it's the same word for parable and proverb, actually. Travel around the world, I like to listen to these sort of things. I found the one place I was going to, I said, you know, you can either have a parable or a proverb, or and they, same word. Okay, so, but they're easily remembered, simple stories, or easily remembered, simple sayings. And Jesus taught that way. We often make things much more complex than that, but that's how Jesus taught. And Jesus underlines his storytelling by saying, how are you listening? Pay close attention to what you hear. He says, the more, if you listen carefully, the more understanding will be given. He actually uses a somewhat complicated saying in an old Jewish proverb, actually, in whatever you measure, it'll be measured to you. Okay, that's literally what he's saying. And it'll be in a familiar story. I find it's very, very helpful when I teach in lots of different cultures, as I do, to try and find out what stories mean something to them or what sayings mean something to them. And this would have meant something to the people because it was something they were very familiar with all the time and will be added to you. The degree to which you let the truth of these stories break upon your life, the more you will understand. That's how Christianity works. You know, often it's just a very, very small beginning. Oh, yes, I'm possibly interested in this. And then you hear a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And gradually, as you receive it, you say, yeah, it is beginning to make sense now. That's how it often works. And then we can start living it out. And these are not just nice stories, but they have power to change your outlook on life. These stories, as I hope I'll show you, these two simple stories that Jesus told here have power to change your outlook on life. And to keep you from misunderstanding how the kingdom of God is working. So listen carefully. And so I've chosen these two stories from among the many I could have chosen, because the first parable, the seed that grows by itself, demonstrates how the good news, the gospel, works in everyday life. The second story, the story of the mustard seed, recognizes that it's okay if what you contribute is very, very small. Because God has a way of making that really count. So, first story, ordinary life. Second story, you might not do much. But God makes the little you do accomplish amazing things in his purposes. Okay, so two stories. And Jesus loved telling stories about seeds. They all started the same way, but they all had a different meaning. So, he told about a parable of a man going out and sowing seed, and he said, I was a little bit worried what had happened to the guitar just at that particular point. I'm sure the bass guitarist was even more so. So, it's all right. I'm always very conscious of a preacher of everything that's going around me, so watch it. Okay. So he told a parable of a man going sowing seed, and it fell on different sorts of ground. There, he says, the seed is the word of God.
Then he told another story about seeds, about sowing seeds and then weeds growing up alongside it. There, the seed wasn't the word of God. The seed was the sons and daughters of the kingdom. You, in other words, you were sown. And so he tells different stories. Here are two more stories about seeds, but which have a very different meaning. So why seeds? Well, seeds, because seeds are small, but have life that mysteriously produces a wonderful harvest. Yeah. You know, you look at a seed, it's not much, is it? But it contains life and reproduces itself. That's why Jesus told stories about seeds, because they're such a good picture. Yes, he was also preaching to an agricultural community, and therefore it was relevant to what they were understanding. As he said, a man goes out to sow, that have seen people doing that all around them. But he took it because he says, this is power. So, in this first story, it says, a man, a farmer, just sows seed on the ground, then ordinary life goes on. Night and day, he wakes and sleeps, and seems to have nothing more to do with the seed. Yet, it sprouts. First a little shoot, then a leaf blade pushes through. Then heads of wheat are formed. And finally the grain becomes ripe, and now the farmer gets involved again because he goes to reap it. Very simple. Just grows by itself. You see, when Jesus came here, people were all expecting the kingdom of God. And they thought it would be that when the Messiah came, all their enemies would be overthrown, there would be a military victory, and they would be the top nation again. That's what they believed. So when Jesus came, he was trying to say, no, the kingdom of God is not like that. Now, people got, their whole way of thinking was militaristic when he talked about the kingdom of God. Their whole idea was, yeah, we're going to be politically the most important people. And Jesus was saying, at first, there were things that made him think, well, maybe it is. I mean, he could feed 5,000 men plus women and children at one time. He says after that they wanted to make him king. Why? Well, if you've got a general that can feed his army without actually having to carry any food with him, you know, that would be pretty good. So I said, wow, yeah, look at him. And he did miracles. But then when he taught, he said the opposite. They were expecting, let's overthrow our enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. These Romans that were occupying the country, they used to come up to Jewish people and say, this great big burden, carry it 1 mile. And they hated that. They resented it. And then Jesus said, well, yeah, when they say that to you, say, oh, please, could I carry it 2 miles? You understand? This kingdom is totally, totally different from everything they expected. You know, the kingdom of God is not a political entity. Church has got that wrong many times in church history. We don't win by that method. The kingdom doesn't come by that method. The kingdom of God comes simply by, in your ordinary life, sowing seeds of kindness, of witness to who Jesus is, demonstrating the compassion of Christ, speaking to people, helping them. The kingdom of God is like that. That's how it comes. You understand? You just share. You share your story. You share, yeah, this is what God has done in my life. And you sow a seed. And it may not, at a time, there may not be any results from it. You know, you just put the seed in the ground and nothing happens, it seems. You just go on with ordinary life. But one day, something happens. See, you might say, why not have a much better picture? Why not a picture of a gladiatorial contest or something like that? Why not a picture of a mighty mountain? Why not a picture of an army that conquers everything? Because that's not how the kingdom of God works. The paradox of the gospel, the mystery of incarnation, that's Jesus coming into this world as a man, is God enters commonplace, ordinary life. That's how the kingdom of God grows. In your ordinary life, God is with you. Amen. You understand? That's what Jesus is teaching. It's just like sowing a seed. Seed is not spectacular. Seed is not admired. Seed doesn't draw attention to its celebrity. But planting and harvesting is the plan of God. As the farmer sleeps, another process is at work. The life of God is growing. We don't even know how. It says the soil brings it forth all by itself. The Greek word for there is automatos. Automatically. You understand? It just happens. How? We don't know. But plant seeds. Because as you do, God will start to work. And for church planting, this is... We even use the word planting, don't we? Okay? That's certainly in English language, that's the word we use. Starting churches. Church planting. We're just sowing a few seeds in the ground to see what God will do. Yeah. And we do it in faith because it grows by itself. One person said this. Like the patient farmer. Okay, can we get that next cloaked up? Like the patient farmer, Jesus is supremely confident in the coming kingdom. Though beset by opposition from religious leaders and misunderstandings from followers, Jesus is not disheartened, distraught, or desperate. Nor should there be any anxiety among his disciples. The faith that Jesus requires of disciples is to sleep and rise in humble confidence that God has invaded this troubled world, not with a crusade, but with a seed. An imperceptible fifth column that will grow into a fruitful harvest. That's how God's come. Do you like that? Okay. He's not come with a mighty show. He's come with a seed. That means everybody can get involved in the advance of the kingdom. Amen. You don't have to be someone spectacular. You don't have to be someone who, you know, great crowds run to. No. You just have to be who you are in ordinary life, witnessing to the Lord Jesus, and it grows. Amen. I hope I'm giving you some confidence from the Word of God. So, if Jesus isn't disheartened, distraught, or desperate, let us not be disheartened, distraught, or desperate. Okay, don't give up. At work, in the community, as you do acts of kingdom righteousness acts of kingdom kindness, as you show mercy and love, as you speak truth, as you tell your stories about what God's done in your life, demonstrate Jesus, love the unlovely, witness to Christ, you can be confident that the seed you've planted will grow. You may not know where it's going to grow. You know, you may not know where the fruit's exactly going to be. Just sow lots of it. Okay? So, at the harvest, the farmer becomes active again. It says, at once or immediately. Jesus is a man of action in Mark. So at the end time harvest, Jesus will return. Everything will be transformed. But there are interim harvests of individuals coming to faith, coming to discipleship, churches reaping the benefit of years of sowing. And we can have faith in the kingdom of God. That's what you do. Okay? You all right? Then he told another story. Have I got time for another story? Okay. Good. Just checking. You know, when I'm sort of enjoying what I'm saying, even if you're not, then, I just don't notice the time really, so you just have to tell me. Okay. Then Jesus says to himself, what shall I liken the kingdom of God to? Strange, isn't it? Jesus asks himself a question. What shall I liken the kingdom of God to? What story shall I use to illustrate it? He said, we'll take a mustard seed. Now, in Jewish traditional proverbs, again, the mustard seed was the common symbol of something very, very small. It was a tiny, tiny seed. Sometimes I've preached this and I haven't done it this morning, didn't get around to it. But brought a whole collection of mustard seeds and passed them around, you know? But it's very small. Very insignificant. Doesn't count for anything. Yet, this mustard seed grows into a large shrub up to 10 feet high. It's an annual plant, so each year it does this. You know, an annual is a... just for those who don't do much gardening, is one you have to plant every year, okay? And it grows into a large shrub, the biggest in the garden. And the birds of the air come and build their nests in it or come and perch in it. Again, in the Old Testament, that sort of image was familiar. So in the prophet Ezekiel, it says, it'll become a majestic cedar, sending forth its branches and producing seed. Birds of every sort will nest in it, finding shelter in the shade of its branches. And Daniel 4 verse 12, it had fresh green leaves and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade and birds nested in the branches. All the world was fed from this tree. So it was familiar language. However, Jesus is almost being a bit ironic here. Because in the Old Testament it was a cedar. Wow. Have you seen cedars? Magnificent trees. But Jesus just takes a common or garden shrub that grows a bit bigger than the others, as if to say, come on, it may not look as impressive, but it's having the same effect, and the birds of the air will come and nest in its branches. Now, the birds of the air, what are they? Well, I know what they are, literally. What did he mean? Well, the birds of the air was code in those days for the nations of the world, the non-Jews. So you know, when a nation is occupied by a foreign power, they have to speak in code so that people don't understand what they're talking about. Okay? So the code for the Romans was the birds of the air. The code for the followers of Herod were the foxes. So Jesus said on one occasion, the foxes have holes, those are followers of Herod, and the birds of the air have nests. That's the nations, the Romans who are here. They're all right, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And so it was code for the nations of the world. And so Jesus is saying, every nation, the birds of the air, even the Romans who you hate, will be affected by the growth of this seed. And that's what happened. Took a long time, 200 or 300 years perhaps, and then the Roman Empire became known for its Christianity. You understand? Took 200 or 300 years, but that's okay, because what you're doing, you're just making your contribution by sowing seed. And that's what is happening here. So every nation will come. And this is the mystery of the growth of the kingdom. The kingdom started with a baby in a manger. You can't get more like a seed than that. Would you plan the takeover of the world with a baby in a manger in a little village outside of the main cities? And yet, that baby at Christmas time is now celebrated in almost every nation of the world. It's filled the earth. It just came as a seed, a baby in a manger. He now is worshipped by hundreds of millions of people all over the world, and still growing. You know, it's growing. In all sorts of nations, it's growing. We baptized a lady from Iran last Sunday in our church. And she just said in her testimony, of course, where I come from, you're not allowed to become a believer. But she said, all over our nation, believers are gathering in small groups in order to worship Jesus. Do you understand? It was just lovely to hear her testimony. And it's growing all the time, just seeds. What appears to be the smallest is nevertheless the greatest. In that which is hidden, the foundation of a work is laid that will encompass the whole world. Please look at church planting like that. Out of the most insignificant beings, invisible to human eyes, God creates his mighty kingdom, which embraces all the peoples of the world. Okay. When I and my team with me launched what we call the Midlands Initiative, we were in Bedford at the time, and we did a little diagram. It was the 1990s, so they weren't sophisticated like today, you know. But it just had a little picture of an arrow going from Bedford to the Midlands, and then arrows going to the whole world. That was the vision from the beginning. And that's actually happened. From the churches that were planted, people are all over the world now. In unreached people groups, reaching different peoples. And yet all we did was plant seeds. Looked good looking back, but at the time, we hadn't a clue. We just said, you just knew God had spoken to us. And so, planted churches. You're working that out again now. Another wave, another wave, and it'll affect the world. Does anyone believe that? That's what Jesus is saying here. And so it means, you see, if you look at the issue of poverty, for example, the church can't solve the problem of poverty. What can it do? It can sow seeds, which eventually change things. You care for the poor. You might not be able to care for all the poor in your location, but you do it, and that grows, and it changes things. You, maybe in your work, you're in a company, and you think, working for a company, say, how can I affect the atmosphere here? You just sow seeds. I had when I used to have a proper job many years ago, and I was in international banking. And one day, I hadn't been in that office terribly long, hadn't even had time to share with many people that I was a believer. I hadn't shared with this particular person that I was a believer. But this guy came to me and he said, I think I can talk to you. Can I spend some time with you? I said, yeah, okay. And he said, my life's in an absolute mess. And he went on to describe how his life was, I won't go into the detail, was in a mess. And I think you can help me. Now, I haven't seen him for many years. During lockdown, I got an email from him. And he said, I was in an online service, and we were all asked to write down where we were. We had to write down the name of a person that's most changed our lives. And he said, I'm just writing to you, found my name, you know, through my email address, through, some website or other. And he wrote to me and he said, I wrote your name down and I want you to know I'm still going on with the Lord. Do you see, I've been involved in church leadership. That was 40 years previously, but we just sowed a seed. You know, that's all you can do. Oops. You change the world one seed at a time. And as you are church planting, that's the thing to do. And so your company, you might say, how do I affect this? Well, I don't think I affected the whole of that company, but I did sow some seeds which are still bearing fruit. The kingdom of God is present. It's vulnerable. It's hidden. It's small, but with power. So keep telling stories. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as he could understand. In fact, in his public, he never taught without using parables. People love to hear another story. Just keep telling them. We, in our village where we used to live in the centre of Bedford, but now we live in a village outside. And every so often they have what we call a travelling dinner party, where the whole village come, not the whole village, but lots of people from the village come, and you go around house to house eating meals and things. Okay? And so normally you don't see the same people 2 years running, but to our house this past year came someone who came the previous year. And he said to me, tell us some more stories. Because I told him stories of some of the things we were involved with. I hadn't preached the gospel per se to them. I told them stories of what God is doing. He said to me, have you ever thought of writing a book? Well, I've written a few, but I didn't tell him that. I mean, it's just, you know. Because they love hearing stories of what God is doing. And you may not be a great evangelist, but you can tell a few stories about what God is doing, and that is what produces the fruit. Okay. And stories themselves are powerful. They are the teaching, they don't just illustrate the teaching. Tom Wright said this: "It will clearly be quite wrong to see these stories as mere illustrations of truths that could in principle have been articulated in a purer, more abstract form. They were ways of breaking open the worldview of Jesus' hearers so that it could be remoulded into the worldview which he, Jesus, was commending." See, if he just said to them, "Your ideas of the kingdom of God are all wrong," he probably wouldn't have had much effect. But what he did was tell them stories which changed their way of thinking about how the kingdom of God would grow. Keep doing that. In all your church plants, keep doing that. Just say, "Yeah, we're being sowed. Let's just tell stories." There's a strategy for you. Okay? You might say, "It doesn't sound very impressive." No, it's not impressive. That's the whole point. But all of you can do it. The humblest believer can tell the odd, can tell some stories. No one's excluded. Tell a few stories, okay? Of what God is doing. And that is what's powerful. Tell stories from the Bible as well. Just tell it. Because God works through them. We're going to pray. Okay. Now, sorry, don't... Just one moment, okay? Sorry? Okay. Never mind. I'll forgive you. Okay. I just wanted to say a few things before that, okay? Before you play. Firstly, I want to, as I pray, impart faith for what God's called you to do here. Already there's obedience because you've come and you're starting. Okay? But what counts is the obedience that comes from faith. And I want to really believe that the Holy Spirit is going to do more in terms of that it's the right thing to do, but will enable you to have faith for what he's called you to do. Okay? I'm going to pray for that. And that applies to all of you because you're all involved in church planting. Secondly, some of you are in a tough context in your work. Okay? You're getting quite desperate, really. Should I be there? Well, while you are there, sow seeds. Because, and you might see absolutely nothing, don't worry. God, it's God that gives the increase, not you. You sow the seeds, God makes them grow. They grow automatos. Okay, that's what Jesus says here. The farmer doesn't understand how they grow, but he knows they do. And I believe for those of you, tough times at work, God's going to say to you, "I've got you where I want you at the moment." Now, it doesn't mean you never change your job, but I've got you where I want you at the moment. Just be in faith that you will sow seeds there. And I believe God is speaking to some people about that right now. Okay. Others of you are facing situations which you think, I cannot see my way through this. God would say to you, it's me that sees the way through it, not you. Don't worry, be faithful where you are. Okay? So let's stand together. So I can go now. Okay, let's stand together and I'm going to pray. And I want you to, if you identify with any of those things, please respond. Just be, wait before the Lord.